1 Corinthians, the first chapter, and let's begin reading at verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. According as he is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So our subject this morning is, unto God be the glory. Now, speaking here about how that the Lord didn't call many noble men and maybe highly educated men, I want to say I'm not against education if it's the right kind. We was in a service in the mountains, Kentucky, one time, and Brother James DeBoard was preaching, and he mentioned something about education, and he said, I wished I had more of it. And somebody back in the crowd said, more of it. So if I say more of it instead of more of it, why, you don't know. And also, there was a man that came to the mountains to do some mission work back several years ago. And he also did some writing. And when I'd get his paper, his message, then I'd get me the dictionary, and then sometimes I'd understand what he's talking about. Good for people to be able to explain those things and use those things. But I believe God is telling us here. He says back here in verse 17 of the first chapter, he says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. And then he goes on in the second chapter, and Paul speaks about, now we believe that Paul was an educated man. He could have used great words if he was wanted to. But he says, I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Amen.
And I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. Now, I don't know whether you preachers tremble anymore, but I do.
Amen, brother.
I took an aerial pill this morning, but it doesn't seem like it was very good, much good. So the Lord take care of that. And I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. And you might say, the great Apostle Paul, you say, would be trembling and fear. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of God, that your father should not stand in the wisdom that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the foundation of the world, which none of the princes of the world knew, For had they knew it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, this is talking about people there that knew much about the things of this world. But God said if they knew the truth there, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. And there's some people there that didn't maybe know much, but they wasn't interested in crucifying the Lord of glory. But they crucified the Lord of glory. But God has revealed unto his people. Now notice in verse 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God.
Amen.
So we see here that God is speaking in his word, and I believe as we come together and as people, preacher stands to preach the word of the Lord, or people stand to teach the word of God, they need to think about what the wonderful word of God is telling us and presenting to us and making known and declaring there, instead of maybe using some words that somebody might speak some great thing about them. Now in this verse of scripture here, and back in verse 30, notice how it reads, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus. Now I read that over a lot of times. I noticed that just a few years ago, what that passage of scripture was saying. Of him, or that is of God, we are in Christ Jesus.
Yes,
now, unto God be the glory.
Amen.
And that's how we got in Christ Jesus. God put us in Christ Jesus. And we need to thank God for that. We need to give him the glory for that. Because we couldn't get in Christ Jesus ourselves. Over in the 20th chapter of the book of Matthew, there the rich young ruler come to Christ and said, what good thing should I do that I might have eternal life? And the Lord said, this is impossible with man. This is impossible with man. Man cannot get in Christ within himself.
Amen.
No man can put any other man in Christ.
Amen.
But God did put us in Christ. And so there unto God be the glory. And now we want to turn to the book of Romans a little bit. And notice here in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, how that it speaks about these truths. 8th chapter of the book of Romans. We don't only give him the glory for putting us in Christ Jesus, but we give him the glory there for foreknowing us. He knew all about us before the foundation of the world. He knew where we was going to live. He knew what our name is going to be.
Amen.
He knew how we was going to grow up in this life.
Yeah.
He knew what we was going to be. Some of us turned out to be maybe a very sinful and wicked people. God knew all about that.
Amen.
He knew the time and the place that he was going to use some minister of the gospel, or he was going to use someone to speak to us and to declare unto us unto the gospel. And there we may have heard the gospel many times, that God had a time and a place in our life that he was going to bring about,
Amen.
That he was going to make the word of God effective,
Amen.
There by the Holy Spirit as the gospel was preached, and there he was going to draw us and save us by his marvelous grace.
Amen.
And we can simply say today, unto God be the glory for that.
Amen.
You know, there's a past scripture over in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 65, notice how it reads here, speaks about this also in the book of Jeremiah. But notice this verse how that speaks about how God draws people unto him. 65. Got a new Bible here and haven't got very used to it yet. 65 and verse 4, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. Now he chose me, and I didn't come to the Lord by myself.
Amen.
Somebody else didn't cause me to come to the Lord.
Amen.
But God chose me, and to God be the glory.
Amen.
But he didn't only choose me into salvation, but to God be the glory. He had caused me to approach unto him, that he may dwell in thy courts, and we shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple.
Yeah.
Not only called us and chose us and called us and caused approach to him and brought about the church that's put in this world, and we shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house. And the word of the Lord, the feeding of God's word there.
Amen.
So, here in the book of Romans, in the 8th chapter now, and verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that are called, that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. God purposed to call us.
Amen.
And there called us, and to whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now God saves us by his marvelous grace. He's brought about the church that's been placed in this world. And if there's somebody in this service this morning, or in this service during this conference here, that is saved by the grace of God, we need to say, unto God be the glory.
Amen, brother.
If there's someone that God speaks to and causes them that they come forward and they confess sin and they desire that people pray for them, to God be the glory.
Yes,
there's someone in this service or some man in this service that would surrender to preach the word of God, to God be the glory.
Amen.
God is the one that brought about that I yielded and surrendered one day, acknowledged that God had called me to preach the word of the Lord. And I believe all of these preachers here will tell you the very same thing, that they ran from it for some time before that they'd surrendered to preach the word of the Lord. But God didn't let you alone.
Amen.
And it's all because of the glory of God. Over whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, the justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. And to God be the praise because of justification, being justified, and then one day going to be glorified. Then he goes on and says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
Now, when was God for us? God was for us back in eternity.
Amen.
He was for us back in eternity.
Amen,
he chose us in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
And there, as we think about the salvation that we have, we think about the God that knew all things and they're able to do all things. And here it goes on and says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also give us freely all things? Now I want you to notice, back in verse 28, the word us is used. In this passage of Scripture, we have the word us. Notice, as we read it again, he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. That us means God's people. It doesn't mean everybody in the world, but it means his people that he's going to call. And deliver him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All things today he has given unto us. He was made to be many things. Let's turn over to the 11th chapter of the book of Romans, and let's notice here the 11th chapter of the book of Romans in verse 33. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For whom hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him. Notice, for of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. So he was made to be everything. Now in this passage of scripture that we read to you in 1 Corinthians, in the first chapter, and verse 30, notice it says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption.
Amen.
So he is our wisdom.
Yeah.
And we was without righteousness. We didn't have any righteousness.
Yeah.
We never had any righteousness apart from God coming unto us. And they're blessing us. And they're imputing righteousness unto our soul. And sanctification. There, he's our sanctification and our redemption. He was made to be this. Over in the 2 Corinthians, and the 5th chapter, verse 25, believe it was, said he was made sin to be sin for us. That we might be made the righteous of Christ in him.
Amen.
So we see these things and see what's happening, see what's taking place and going on, what God has blessed, how God has blessed us as far as that is concerned. And there we look back and we just have to bow our heads and think and say, unto God be the glory. Now there was time in my life, in your life, that you was lost and in sin.
Yeah.
Let's turn to the book of Romans in the 6th chapter, and let's read the verse 2 of scripture there. And this speaks about what we was before that we saved. Then it says in verse 20 of the 6th chapter, for whom ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things, whereof ye are now ashamed, for the end of those things is death. And notice it says, but now, being made free from sin, and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. Now let's notice another passage of scripture. Let's go to the book of Ephesians and the 2nd chapter of the book of Ephesians. And it says almost the same thing here. In Ephesians, the 2nd chapter and verse 2, it says, or chapter 2 and verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespass and sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit, and now that worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also ye all had your conversation in time past, in the lust of the flesh, and of the desires of the flesh, and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath as others. But notice, but God, who is rich in mercy,
amen,
and unto God be the glory,
amen,
for his riches and mercy and kindness unto us, there that he would call us and save us by his marvelous grace.
Amen.
Now let's go to another passage of scripture here in the book of Titus. Notice how it reads in Titus, the 3rd chapter. Titus 3rd chapter, and notice in verse 3 says, for we ourselves also were sometime foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasure, living in malice and in envying, hating one another. But after that the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared. And when Jesus Christ came into this world, and there the word is made known, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. There's that word us used a couple of times there again. And notice we read just a little bit farther, which He shed on us abundantly. That mercy and that kindness and that love was shed upon us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the riches of eternal life. Oh, Brother Harvey brought out yesterday many things about according to the Word of God. And there in the book of 1 Corinthians in the 15th chapter speaks about Jesus Christ went there to the cross of Calvary, and according to the Word of God He was crucified, and then He, according to the Word of God, He was buried, and according to the Word of God He arose from the tomb.
Amen.
And then there in the book of Ephesians, as Brother Titus used, or Brother Harvey used yesterday there, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
And in those very same scriptures that Brother Harvey used yesterday, the word according is used there in those scriptures in chapter 1. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. And right down in verse 5, having predestinated us, and have the word us and the word according, and about all these verses here. Having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. It pleased God that He would save us. And according to His will, it wasn't according to what we was, or because of something we was, or something we did, but simply because of His purpose. Now let's go just a little bit farther. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. There, that was the only way we could be accepted, was made accepted in Jesus Christ. Notice the next verse, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Oh, according to the riches of His grace, we cannot even begin to explain that today. The next verse, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. And in the next verse, having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. Unto God be the glory.
Amen.
And we could just say, to God be the glory to every message that has been preached here in this conference.
Amen.
And the wonderful word that has went forth. And to God be the glory that can take men and use them. We're thankful for Brother Dean Smith that we heard just a few days ago that sounded like he's so serious. And here we come here, and God has blessed him, raised him up. There, to God be the glory. He's the one that brought it about. And caused him to stand here and proclaim a message, preach the word of God this morning. And all today, as we think of these things, let's think of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a church in this world today. That is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to read a passage of scripture here in 1 Timothy, I believe it is, about this church. First Timothy, the third chapter, and in verse 15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Now, unto God be the glory. He has chosen there in Luke. We could go to the book of Luke where he went into the mountain, prayed all night long. He came down and he chose those that he's going to set in the church. And there in 1 Corinthians 12:28, it says the apostles was first in the church. So we have the church and have the people that God's in it. And then notice this church here that God has placed in this world. And there's a lot of churches throughout the world today that man's begin here. But God has one in this world today. And I'm thankful today that I believe I can know that I'm a member of that kind of a church. And I believe today that this is that kind of a church that he's placed in this world. And we just simply have to bow our heads and say, unto God be the glory. That he's placed a church in this world that has stood for the truth down through the years and is still standing for those truths and are going to still stand for those truths and our persecution and all those things. Unto God be the glory. He's the one that causes us and blesses us with the grace that we might stand and uphold those truths of the word of the Lord. And now notice it says here with in the last part of this verse, but if I tarry long, that thou mightest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is a church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now these are the only kind of churches today that is of the living God. You know, I wonder sometimes if we really are thankful and we're really grateful that God has come to us in mercy and love and kindness and saved us. And it says that he adds to the church, and to God be the glory for that. He adds to his church. There in Acts, the second chapter, that he added to the church. He added to this church. And today, to God be the glory that calls men and calls them to the ministry and leads them, and they surrender, and there God be the glory that places them where that he would have them to be. And to God be the glory that those pastors, they seek the will of God and the leadership of God as to where God would have them to go and what kind of work that God would have them to be in, whether to be a missionary or whether a pastor church or whatever it is. Amen. And to God be the glory, God will lead and he will direct and he will let them know where that God would have them to be. And something else today, God will supply that we stand in need of. Amen. We might not have all we would want sometimes, but God will supply that need. If man is truly called of God and they want to go out and serve the Lord as the Lord would have them to. Notice here in the book of Philippians, I believe it is, how that it reads. In the fourth chapter, the book of Philippians, verse 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and see in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I act in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am thereto to be be content. Now we have to learn those things sometimes.
Amen.
And sometimes we don't learn them overnight either.
That's right. Amen.
It takes a while for us to learn. But Paul says, I have learned.
Yeah.
And he goes on. He says, I know how to be abased.
Yeah.
And I know how to be to abound everywhere and in all things. And I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, but both to abound and to suffer. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me.
Amen.
Now, God has not called upon us to do anything that is impossible, or the things that He would have us to do, that He will bless us, that we will be able to do that. Let us turn back to the book of 2 Corinthians, and let us read a passage of Scripture in 2 Corinthians. And this, I believe, tells us pretty plainly here that God will do for us in 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter.
Amen, brother.
And in verse 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as his purpose in his heart. So let him give not grudgingly, of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. Now notice verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you. What for? That ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now, if God's grace is not sufficient for us, we'll not do it no other way. Sure I won't. But God's grace, He says, and God is able. He's able to supply that grace. He does supply that grace. And that's where we go to whenever there times gets kind of rough sometimes. We go to the Lord. And God is able. You know, I preached a message the other day. God is able, and God is faithful, and God is promised, or God has promised first, and God is faithful, and God is able. So He will do those things, can do those things. So there's many other things today that we can speak about this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to come after us one of these days, and going to take us out of this world of sin and take us home to glory. Notice this in the book of Galatians, in the first chapter of the book of Galatians, how that it reads. And this is what we need to be looking for and thinking about. And we have the word us and according here again in this verse of Scripture. In verse 4 of Galatians 1, who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to His will, or to the will of God and our Father.
Amen.
There, that word us is in the Bible over and over and over and over. It's referring to God's people. And He's saying today, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we might find help in the time of need. And oh, to think that one there is our great high priest today that we have to go to. And there He gives us that wonderful invitation to come boldly to the throne of grace that we might find help in the time of need. And there He has saved us and our soul, and He's blessed us in this life. And He's going to come back one day and take us home to glory. And let us turn to the 15th chapter of the 1 Corinthians this morning in closing. And notice how that it reads here in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, in verse 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, unto God be the glory.
Amen.
For that that he done for us.
Amen.
That we have to look forward to.
Amen.
You know, I heard Brother Clark make this statement one time. He says, I don't mind to die, but he says, I worry about how I'm going to die. I do too sometimes. About all of us do. But that's going to happen if Jesus doesn't come. We may linger a long time like Brother Tuning did. And Brother Tuning's with the Lord now. We may die suddenly. We don't know how. We're going to die one of these days if the Lord doesn't come. Are you here this morning? You haven't trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Are you troubled this morning? Is God speaking to you? Has he spoke to you in this conference as the word is going forth? If he has, then to God be the glory.
Amen.
He's the one. I can't make you want to be saved, but God can. God made me want to be saved. God made every person in here that's saved want to be saved. To God be the glory. If you're here this morning, God is speaking to your heart, and you're disturbed and troubled. It's not anything because I stood here and preached, or because any of these other preachers stood here and preached. Because God took the message that they spoke and showed you that you was a sinner, that you was under the sentence of condemnation, and there. Jesus Christ has preached unto you that died on the cross of Calvary and took sin upon him and paid for your sin. And if you trust Jesus Christ in this service this morning, then you'll be saved eternally.
Amen.
Unto God be the glory.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Tyus.